We read again from Mark 4, 26 to 34. The translation is by John Henson. John Henson is a retired Baptist minister who has been the translation coordinator on behalf of One for Christian Exploration for the last 12 years. One is a network of radical Christians and over 20 organisations in the UK, working to renew the church from within. Contributions have come from all across the spectrum, from fundamentalists to liberals and from all denominations. This is how things are in God's new world. A farmer scatters some seeds in the field, goes to bed, gets up next day, goes to bed again, and so on many times. Although nothing appears to be happening, the seed is sprouting and growing under the soil. The first stalk appears, then the corn grows to its full height, and last of all, the grain forms. When the grain's ripe, it's harvest time, and the farmer can start reaping. How can we describe God's new world? What picture can we use? It's like a mustard seed, which is very small when you sow it in the ground, but it grows to become the largest of shrubs, and its branches are wide enough to provide shade for the birds to build their nests in. By using pictures like this, Jesus put over his teaching, as far as those listening were able to understand it. In his public teaching, he always used stories, explaining their meaning to his friends when they were alone together.
There's a clue in the last sentence of John Henson's translation of Mark 4. By using pictures like this, Jesus put over his teaching as far as those listening were able to understand it. In his public teaching, he always used stories, explaining their meaning to his friends when they were alone together. And particularly the very last part of that, having to explain it when they were together. I feel very comfortable with the disciples who were so slow to learn. Jesus had to get them aside and say, listen, boys, this is what it's about. When I was at Westminster School, as I indicated before, I was there for quite a long time. It was during that time that I did teacher training and over a number of years. And so I was always out to find clues about the art of teaching. And I remember some said to me, there are three things. One, know your stuff. Number two, be enthusiastic about putting it over. And three, love your kids. Well, here is the teacher, Rabbi Jesus. In the next exciting, action-packed edition of Vision, I have two articles this time. Is that right, Madam Editor? My normal David Perling writes, and now on the front page from the other minister. It's not that I've done anything wrong that I get on the front page. It's not a big headline kind of thing. And talking of headlines, isn't it amazing? Jesus never had any PR people. He didn't actually start his teaching in Athens or Rome or even in Jerusalem. But that little tin pot place called Galilee. And in this next action-packed edition of Vision, in both articles I refer to Professor Phipps, who wrote The Wit and Wisdom of Rabbi Jesus, and argues a very good case that we tend to overlook Jesus the teacher. We think of, in the Christian church, Jesus the Saviour, Jesus the the Lord, Jesus the Master, and so on. But Jesus the Teacher comes a bit down the list. And here is Jesus the Teacher absolutely using those three principles, knowing his stuff. For what, he says, will I compare the kingdom? Now I love John Henson's translation, God's New World. That's what the writers are getting at. The world of God, but it needs renewing. So God's new world, and God wants agents of that change. So there's Jesus employing his skills as the rabbi, the teacher, and telling a couple of yarns, a couple of stories. And Nathan Littleton, who is the minister in the South Yarra Baptist Church, who's a very liberal theologian, has argued about the second story, the seed growing, the mustard seed, that this was a bit of a joke, actually, because the seed that grows this shrub, more or less a weed, is used to try and explain something about God's new world. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. The first story. Well, actually, the first story follows a story a little earlier on in Mark. You know, the story of the sower who went out and sowed the seed, threw it around everywhere, anywhere, which way, this way. And so the church has interpreted that story as the word of God is sown, and there are some who are hard-hearted, like the soil, the path that has been trodden down and is hard, nothing will grow there. There are people where the word will not ever grow. And then there's the rocky ground where there's a little bit of soil, and that the wheat, the seed grows, and but it shrivels very quickly because there's not much depth of soil. There are people like that that will take to faith, but then it will soon die away. Then there's the weeds, the thorns, that there are people that accept the word of God as it comes to them, but what happens is the world crowds in on them and forces that to die. But there are those who are faithful. The seeds all, it's on the good soil, and it springs up and it grows crops 30-fold, 50-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And we're the ones in the good soil, aren't we? Hang on. This is something I prepared earlier. An onion. Don't cry. I'm just about, but as you can imagine, the layers. And that's maybe how we should look at the stories of Jesus. There's not just one meaning. There are layers of meaning. And maybe another layer of meaning about the seed that the farmer scattered is that God is so indiscriminate about God's love. It's wasted, but it's also received. There are probably others that you will think of, but we follow that. And maybe the disciples are still trying to work out what was Jesus getting at with that story. He knew his stuff. He told it with enthusiasm, and he loved his listeners. But maybe they had to get don't quite get that. And so I'm in good company. The church doesn't always get it. In this week about refugees, the church hasn't always got it about the humankind that seek to find hospitality and love and acceptance away from their home because it is so dangerous to live there. We as a Christian country this love of God. Let's move on. The seed growing secretly. The farmer doesn't understand what's going on. He plants it, he waters it, he goes to bed, he gets up, he waters it, looks at it, nothing happening, day after day, and then suddenly it's there. Arthur, I'm sure, would be able to explain it. But then, it wasn't necessary. They accepted that somehow or other, the seed went in the ground like it should put dead bodies in the ground, but then life came out of it. Wonderful. And maybe those listening who were starting to get into trouble because they were followers of this rabbi, maybe they started to get a bit of hope, a glimmer of what God intended for God's new world. And then as Nathan Littleton and Professor Bill Loder, plus one other commentary I was reading, all say the mustard seed is not the tiniest seed. It's actually quite big. And John Henson argued that it was big enough for Jesus to hold between his thumb and forefinger and show the people sitting at the front. To what shall I compare God's new world? It's like the mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, but grows into a bush that will shelter the birds. Luke didn't like this idea, and he actually added that it would grow into the tallest of trees. So one of the layers that we peel back for these stories of Jesus might be that the church was thinking, we're going to start small, but we're going to grow big. And that's what we should have, big. But in the introduction to the reading that Anne read to us today, small is beautiful. Small is beautiful. In the story of creation and our understanding of what that's all about, it starts with a big bang. And then we have an ever-expanding universe. The children and the adults who are planting over in the community garden start small, but it grows bigger. Now, I've been thinking about what these birds mean in the story. This bush, this shrub, this weed, if you like. And Nathan Nettleton argues that it's a bit of a joke. Jesus, this is, again, in line with the wit and wisdom of Rabbi Jesus, that he's having a smile on his face, you know. This thing is so kind of small in a way, grows and then it shelters the birds. Now, who are the birds? And one suggestion is that they may have thought the nations of the world. The nations of the world. This new world of God includes all. Or maybe they were thinking of those who were rejected. The people we find Jesus with. As my friend Jeff Scott used to say to me quite often when we had our book readings, where in the Gospels do you find Jesus located? He's with the marginalised. He's with the refugees. He's with the asylum seekers. So here in this story, these couple of stories that Jesus told, there are various layers. But in the end, it seems to me that it's not so much about individual salvation, to use a very quaint term that we don't use very much these days. It isn't about me and God and our own private little world. It's about God's new world, where all are part of the community and all are welcomed, and that justice and peace may come to all. That's what the shelter is about. And we're part of that. We have been enlisted. We were reminded of that a couple of weeks ago when Lachlan and Katrina were welcomed into membership. We're enlisted in that great, great cause of Jesus to bring about God's new world.